GM may not be Government Motors much longer.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. General Motors is driving back into the private sector. In the next 24 hours or so, GM is expected to file final papers for an initial public offering. That sale of shares to private investors would change Uncle Sam from a majority owner into a minority owner. Marketplace's Scott Tong is with us live from Washington to explain. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So are taxpayers going to get some money back here?
Some, but not all of it back at once. The government, during the bailout, put nearly $50 billion public dollars into GM. So far, the company's paid back about $10 billion or so, and another $7 billion would come from this share sale. Now, as for the rest of the money, the Treasury hopes to sell more of its company stock down the road, hopefully at a higher stock price.
And who's going to want to buy all of this GM stock?
Well, that's where it could get interesting. I spoke to Hans Greimel over at Automotive News in Tokyo about chatter that a big Chinese car company might buy in.
And, of course, that is a Chinese government-owned automaker. So that raises the question of, hey, are we trading the U.S. government's ownership in General Motors for partial ownership by the Chinese government?
An interesting twist, Scott. And
yeah.
How about GM? Will it be easier to sell cars, do you think, if the government isn't calling all the shots?
It certainly may help appearance-wise. They probably don't like to be called, as you said earlier, Government Motors by its snarky critics. So this gives the perception that GM is back. It's returning to the New York Stock Exchange. But one analyst I spoke to this morning says the test is whether General Motors can be competitive in selling small cars. Jeremy?
Okay. We'll be watching. Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome.
BP has returned to profitability. The British oil giant reported a net profit of almost $2 billion today, even as it raised the estimated cost of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. As Marketplace's Eve Troe reports, the disaster in the Gulf may not be a permanent stain on BP's bottom line.
BP is likely to be a bad guy in the court of public opinion for, well, decades. Past disasters prove that, says energy analyst Phil Weiss.
When you hear the term Valdez, you think of Exxon, even though that was 20 years ago.
The Valdez spill proves another point. The year Exxon coated the Alaska coast with oil, it still saw $3.8 billion in profits. Weiss says BP's bottom line won't take a long-term hit from the Gulf spill either.
While reputation can sometimes depress a stock price, it doesn't really have anything to do with how the business is running.
Which, he says, is still strong. You'd think environmentalists would resent that, but LG Holstein with the Environmental Defense Fund says it's good news the company is healthy.
Those who have claims for damages against BP, including the federal government, will be in a strong position to collect on those fines and penalties.
Even if it takes 20 years, like it did for the Exxon Valdez. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And let's check global stock markets. European markets are up right now across the continent. It was an up-and-down day on Wall Street yesterday, but the Dow did finish about 6 points higher to close at 11,124. Today, investors will be watching earnings from ADM, Pfizer, and Electronic Arts.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
If all goes as planned weather-wise, the Space Shuttle Discovery will launch for the final time tomorrow. It's one of the three remaining shuttles, which are all facing retirement. NASA is transitioning more of its $19 billion annual budget toward other spacecraft that can travel deeper into space. Paul Barrett has written about the economic consequences of all of this for the latest edition of Bloomberg Businessweek, and he joins us now. Paul Barrett, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Well, first, I want to start with a line in your story. 8,000 engineers, technicians, and other employees are going to lose their jobs because of the retirement of the space shuttle. What is this doing to Florida?
Well, what it's doing is making a really terrible economic situation much worse, particularly in the small towns around the Kennedy Space Center on the east coast of Florida.
But as you report, the impact goes far beyond the borders of the state of Florida. This really has to do with American competitiveness.
It does. While the American space program is adrift, the programs in countries such as Russia, China, India are really cruising ahead, and the United States stands to lose a significant portion of the market in the global space industry.
Where does the problem lie?
Well, the problem lies in several places, but one place to start is in the fact that the federal government has come to treat the NASA space program as more of a federal jobs program, spreading resources out across a large number of NASA centers around the country and worrying more about preserving jobs as they exist rather than looking out into the future and figuring out how to best deploy resources. So politics is one big part of the problem.
Paul Barrett, after doing this reporting, do you think that the U.S. will be able to remain the world's leader in space?
I think that is now very much open to question. With rising China, rising India, there's a real serious question whether the United States will remain on the cutting edge in this hugely expensive undertaking that requires centralized and collective action. This is not something that can be done by rugged individuals. Basically, the whole country has to pull together and agree to do this and to spend a lot of money.
Paul Barrett, who's got a big story on NASA in the latest Bloomberg Business Week, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And finally, forget installing that expensive home security system or that sign that says you have a pit bull even if you really don't. According to researchers at the U.S. Forest Service, planting trees would be a cheaper option to deter crime. Trees, the researchers say, would make would-be burglars think the neighborhood is better cared for, so they think they'd be more likely to get caught. You can tweet me your favorite crime-preventing trees. Maybe it's a weeping willow. It's at Jeremy Hobson. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's the economy, stupid. That famous line from the presidential campaign in 1992. But you know what? The president doesn't really run the economy.
Olympia Snow might be just about as important right now as President Obama in terms of ability to create, do things like extend unemployment insurance or pass a fiscal stimulus.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Freakonomics of how much a leader really matters, and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.